All right, Steve, we're back with another edition of the Work Week After Hours. We're getting into more of a cadence and a routine of cranking these out on a normal basis now. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know what normal is, but more regular is more definitely more fun for me. So I'm glad we're back at it.
Yeah. My life on my end is certainly not normal. Well, I guess it's my new normal for the next 3 weeks or so. But, you know, I think now would probably be a good time to do a bit of a update on my Portugal journeys. I seem to get comments about those from time to time. Hey, what's the status? Hey, are you still going? I haven't heard you talk about it in a while. So, at the time of this recording, we have 20 days and a wake up before I'm on a plane to move my family for our home to be in another country, which is still weird to say. Like that's I mean, we already have an apartment, so I guess I need to fill in. I don't think I've chopped into any of this. So
yeah.
I guess I'll just start back from.
Yeah. Bring us up to date, man. Yeah. Tell us as an American, you made a big sale today. As a, you know, when you sell that thing as an American, it's a big moment. So you share that too.
Yeah. So we sold our last vehicle today. Mm-hmm. I no longer own any property of any kind in America, which is wild to say. Like that's
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wild thing to say, but I think since the last update, we took the kids over for fall break. They loved it. We did 2 weeks. That timeline was October. So I'll kind of give everybody kind of a rundown because my gut is someone listening to this is going to start exploring this and you want to kind of understand from a timeline of how this has to happen. A couple things I will preface. I am not a tax attorney. I do not play one on the internet. I'm not a CPA. Nor am I an immigration attorney, and I don't play one on the internet. I'm only an expert in my own journey and in my own process. So that being said, we went in October. That was for 2 weeks. Kids loved it. Now, keep in mind, we live in a town where there's 40,000 people. You know, you drive to go everywhere. There's no, you know, walking down. For the most part, you're not walking down the street to go to eat dinner or, you know, those things. So a very different experience than what my kids are used to. Now they've been to some bigger cities and we've stayed in those cities and walked around and done those things. But for them to try and grasp, could I live here? They loved it. They fell in love with it. My youngest one, he found that we could go to the playground every day and went and did that. Then we got back, kind of got settled in with the holidays and in Portugal, the visa process is you have to start the paperwork. And when I say start the paperwork, my wife had to start the paperwork and she had to get all the different things together and you have to get, birth certificates and you got to get them apostilled and you got to get FBI background checks and you got to get that apostilled and you got to do all these different things. You got to get medical records. You have to do all these different things. So in doing that, that takes, you know, a month or so of time to kind of get all that paperwork in. FBI takes their time on the paperwork. You know, it's just different things. So while waiting for that, we started to look for an apartment online in January, right after Christmas. My wife started every day when I woke up. She wakes up before I do. Every day when I would wake up, I would have three or four links of apartments of, hey, what about this one? Hey, what about this one? Mm-hmm. Started putting some pressure on old dad over here. So I had to start much earlier. I mean, keep in mind, we're not getting there until June 1st. This is the end of December. Took a little bit for me to wrap my head around the fact of what does this look like? How does this even work now that we've been talking about it? So in order to apply for a visa in Portugal, you have to have an address of residence in the country. And I know
that's
that sounds
surprised me. Yeah, that surprised me that you had to secure residence and an address before you even, quote unquote, live there. Yeah.
I think they do that to weed out the people who are just kicking tires or you know, those things. So we linked up with a realtor. never keep in mind, and I want to bring this into context to all that Steve and I talk about with when it comes to the future of work. All of this is happening like virtually, right? When everybody says, well, you can only get work done in the office or you can only get work done in person. Please pay attention to the next steps that I'm about to tell you and what happened and how it transpired and how we were able to overcome a massive distance in between Kentucky and Lisbon, Portugal. So we linked up with a realtor. Interesting side note, realtors who are dealing with rentals in Portugal, we don't pay them anything. I've actually felt really, really guilty. We're certainly going to give the lady who helped us some gifts when we get there. But they go and they find places. So we would send her an address or send her a listing and say, hey, can we go see this?
Yeah.
Well, go seeing it means she goes there, she unlocks it, she would FaceTime or WhatsApp video call us and walk us through. Right. Wow. That's what we would do. Mm-hmm. And we did that. And we did that with a couple different ones. The market is really, really hot. So if you don't start to process an offer on the day that you see it, you're probably not going to get it. Mm-hmm. We went, circled back on a couple, didn't get those. I'm actually really glad we didn't get those based off of what I know now. It all worked how it worked out, how it's supposed to work out. Anna, who works with us, she even went back on the one that we were looking at and measured all the rooms so that we could kind of draw out schematics of what the place looked like and with beds and furniture and what are we going to get? And is my office big enough and all those different things. So that process was really interesting. We secured that place. We had to do 2 months rent up front and then 2 months of deposit. So,
4 months.
Yeah. So there are some people doing 12 months. I just talked to a gentleman just now who's moving from Turkey. He had to pay 6 months up front. So it's a really, really competitive market. Mm-hmm. They originally wanted us to pay 3 months up front. I negotiated them down to 2 months up front and then it started. So, my wife and I went and we mailed off all our paperwork the end of February. My wife and I went the last week of February, got over there, set all our stuff up. We hired out. When I arrived, I had all my utilities already on and already in my name. I had cell phones already set up. I've got internet at my house already set up. I've got cable at my house already set up. All done from abroad. So there are companies that facilitate these things. Stepping out of my conversation, this goes back to something that I genuinely believe, and I'm probably a bit biased because I'm in the middle of it. I think a lot of large corporations are going to start creating positions to what I call either, you know, workplace flexibility assistants or directors of relocation or whatever that is, to where if you have an employee that comes to you and says, I love working here, Steve, I love it. This is one of the greatest places I've ever worked. However, for my family, we've done some research and we can go to Portugal and we can drastically reduce our taxes. We can drastically reduce our healthcare costs. It's better healthcare. We've got some things going on in the household with our kids that we want to be in a place where there's better healthcare. It's the cost of living's better. And rather than me have to always worry about if I'm getting a raise or looking for that next job, this would give me some security and some peace of mind to do that. Can you help me with this process? And I believe companies will have people in place like that at scale to help this, because at scale, 10 years from now, the amount of employees that you have that are going to be dispersed around the world is going to blow your mind, right? It's going to blow your mind. I was telling my son this. So my son's been working at McDonald's, and I'll get back to the Portugal story. I'm taking a detour here. I was like, he hears me talk a lot about this. Obviously he's in the house. He hears conversations. Well, Dad, yeah, but I mean, I work. So at McDonald's, you have a person that works the intercom, a person that takes your order. There's a different person that collects your money. There's a different person that hands you your food. So McDonald's is actually testing out in some markets, the person that runs your, that takes your order can do that remotely from home. Why does that person need to be anywhere in the building? There's no, they're not literally not involved with any part of the process. So then what happens? Now you can have a really high qualified person paying a good salary that's covering two or three McDonald's remotely. So all of a sudden, it gets really interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So now a person can work. Imagine saying you work for McDonald's and you're covering three different branches and you're doing it from home, right? Mm-hmm. Now imagine that person, maybe that person's not making a Silicon Valley wage, but they're making a better wage than average in Portugal. And that person wants to move to Portugal and now they're living twice as good as they could where they were living in New York or wherever.
You could do the 24-hour drive-through and your waking hours in Portugal. You can cover the shift that's all night there and you're in a different place.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And, yeah. And I don't care where that person is. I really don't care. So this allows technology. So all these jobs we think can't be remote, they can. So going back to Portugal, how did we get all of our utilities and all those things set up? It's because we reached out and found people to solve a problem. And there's people that you can pay. They assigned us a gentleman. He's a young man who's in, he's learning computer programming at the local university.
Okay.
They vet him. He's got a copy of my keys. He goes and checks my mail and opens my mail and takes a picture of it and send it to me. If I get some, if I get a bill in my, inbox, I text it to, I email him and he translates it back, says, oh yeah, no, I'll take care of this. You know, this is not right, you know, or I'll fix this or whatever.
Really?
And yeah, it's phenomenal. So
cool.
Yeah. So having that, it's really, really nice. To give context on costs of living, we have 4 cell phones, we have gig internet service and 160 channels and cable, and it's $80 a month. We had, while we were there, my wife thought it was a good idea to take me to IKEA. Not a good idea. If you've never been to IKEA, I love IKEA. IKEA, you're great. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to sponsor, I'm sure we can discuss it, but, it's not a good idea to jump off of a plane after being up for about 30 hours and then walking into an IKEA. We got lost. We ordered a bunch of furniture. We used TaskRabbit. So they have a system over there where you order the furniture and then they send your order to TaskRabbit. They allow you to pick someone to come to your house and put it together.
Oh, wow.
So a gentleman came and put our furniture together through them. The next day, we had another order coming through. Well, we got the gentleman's name. So we contacted him and said, hey, can you come and put this order together? He says, sure, yeah, no problem. He quotes us a price. I'm like, well, that's half of what we just paid TaskRabbit, and he's going to be here the same amount of time. So he comes. He brings a gentleman with him to help. They were at the house for 8 hours. They hung and wired 8 ceiling lights, hung 2 TV mounts and 2 TVs, and put furniture together. 2 gentlemen were there for 8 hours, and it cost me $160. And it was like, whoa, this is the ticket right here. And they took their break. They spoke English. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So that part of it, we got back from that part of the trip, got the house all set up, and our visas got approved while we were on spring break in Florida in April. And now here we are leading the charge, moving to Portugal in a couple weeks, and we'll have Steve. We might even have to do a in-person broadcast.
Yeah, live from Portugal.
Live from Portugal when Steve when Steve comes to visit in a couple of months. So
That's amazing, Shane. That's amazing. Give me a window into what your kids are saying, asking, thinking, doing right now.
Yeah, they're. I mean, you've gotten to know me and my parenting style, I think, quite a bit. So, you know, I'm really transparent with my kids. I'm really like, we hold things, what we call family meetings. So dad will call a family meeting. We sit down. It's an intentional thing. All right. We got some things we need to discuss. Here's what's going on in the family. And we did this way back when we first started doing it. We said, hey, we're looking at moving to Portugal. Here's, we need to have X number of dollars in the bank. We need to have this sold and this sold. We need to have the visa approved. We need to have all these different things in place to make them a part of the situation, to make them understand that it's not just, we don't just snap our fingers and all of a sudden we're moving to another country. So right. It's been going on for about 18 months. Now they're just at the point of where they're like, well, can we just go? I think there's a bit of Lisbonitis happening right now where they're just ready to, like, the school year's winding down.
That's a long lead time for kids, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're pumped. I mean, my son, the 15-year-old, we've got him registered for surf camp. So he's doing surf camp the last week of June, first week of July. So he's overnight. They do surf lessons. They do slack lining. They do wall climbing. They do paintball. They do trampoline park. They do all these different things. And he gets to meet and hang out with other teenagers and those kinds of things.
That's going
to
be epic. What a great jumpstart for his network. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's pumped. The little one, he's just worried about where we can go find the best donuts in town. You mm-hmm. know, he calls he and I the donut boys. So we're the donut boys. So our goal, we got to go out and find the best donuts when we get there. So and then my daughter, she's just ready. We've made mm-hmm. her a couple friends in some of these expat groups who have daughters around her age that are moving. So she's mm-hmm. she does about once a week. She does a Zoom call with these girls and they all talk about what they're mm-hmm. going to do when they see each other and mm-hmm. all that stuff. So they're pumped. They're excited.
And Shane, in the community, one of the things I want you to share with the audience today is what you've done to sort of build a little community yourself mm-hmm. around, you know, people moving to Portugal, maybe even people moving to Lisbon, and what that's been like and what you've learned from some of those conversations.
Yeah, it happened really by accident in a lot of ways. It's kind of like you and I linking up. It was by accident. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, you know, some of your best, you know, relationships sometimes happen by chance, right? And there's a lot of expat groups on Facebook. Anybody who is listening to this that wants to go, whether it's Portugal or just anywhere, just go search on Facebook, expat group, and then the country or the city in the world that you're looking to go to, you will mm-hmm. find a plethora of human beings who are literally there to help the process and give you insight and ask questions. And, you know, I mean, there's a couple groups that have over 50,000 people just in Portugal. And it's, you know, and you would think half of America's moving over there. There's only 6,000 Americans in the country, but a lot of people look, I mean, there's probably 300,000 people in the collective groups looking mm-hmm. to go to Portugal. Mm-hmm. So in these groups, trying to figure out how to word this, in these groups, a majority of the conversations are driven by moms and the wives, the men. There's just not a lot of men who have kids, who are dads, who are engaged in the conversation. And that stood out to me. Don't know why. I'm not here to solve that problem. But mm-hmm. I said, let me just see. I feel like I'm a pretty cool dad. I feel like I'm a pretty laid back guy. I said, let me just see, because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I have no idea what type of dad is actually going, you know, maybe I'm an outlier. Mm-hmm. So I created a Zoom link. And I posted it in a bunch of these groups. And I said, hey, Saturday morning, it was like 3 or 4 days away. I was like, Saturday morning, if anybody wants to hop on, let's, you know, I'm happy to meet you and share our experience or whatever. Holy cow. I could not have been more caught off guard by the response that happened. Oh, mm-hmm. I had wives sending me a message. Hey, my husband's not on Facebook. Can I send this to him? And he showed up. So I quickly pivoted. My entrepreneurial brain kicked in of like, oh, how am I going to keep up with all these people? I'm horrible with names. I'm horrible mm-hmm. with keeping up with people. Like, I got to find some place to actually like put all this together. So I created an expat dads group for Portugal. I think right now we've got 100 folks in there. and it's
on Facebook. Is it
on Facebook? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've mm-hmm. moved it. We do hold, actually have a Zoom call tonight actually with them, mm-hmm. for the dads in America who haven't made the journey yet, to kind of touch base. And I tell you what's been wild is nearly all of them are professional to some extent, from owning their own business to high-level jobs in business. We've got a gentleman who's an artist, and he's a painter. Right now he's in London painting a bunch of stuff for mm-hmm. this huge display. Awesome. Awesome. He and I have hit it off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be picking up a piece for my living room. Mm-hmm. Guys who own a marketing agency, or guys who are speakers or authors or professional coaches or sales coaches, or this, these different things. And it's wild to hear. You look around and you're like, it's like being in the jungle and being like a pink elephant. And you think you're the only pink elephant. And then you run into a pack and you're like, oh, wait a second. All these elephants are pink. Like, we're all mm-hmm. pink. Right. Mm-hmm. And in seeing that, it's been really wild. And of course now I'm, and I do not say this from a place of arrogance, but I'm kind of like the pseudo leader of the group now, because I'm the one who kind of brought everybody together. And, you know, we're planning a meetup now for the first time in the early part of July, actually, maybe when you're there.
Oh, wow.
Great. Yeah. So just having this thing, and yeah, it's a wild thing. I mean, people moving from Turkey, people moving from Ireland, people moving from New Zealand, people from moving from all these different places, all for the same reason. And that is what is really cool about this, is as a community of dads, all on a similar journey from all different walks of life, all experiencing this whole work quake and this whole readjusted shift of life and purpose and focus and values. And it's really interesting. It really mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, I can completely see that. And there's a lot of stories in the press around Portugal in particular being a real attractive destination for a whole host of people. And they've done some pretty interesting things. I mean, we've seen the news lately, probably the last few months, Spain, Italy, Germany all have passed more progressive labor legislation, progressive in the sense of, you know, more creativity, adjusting, you know, decades old laws to accommodate a different future in the world of work. And what I loved about what Portugal did was they said, hey, if you're stuck here during the pandemic, we will expedite your pathway to permanent resident or citizen, particularly if you're a knowledge worker and love everything that we have to offer here. So it was a great opportunity for them that they seem to take full advantage of, and they've got the greatest assets. You know, this is just a yeah. beautiful country, right? And a great culture.
Yeah. For those that are listening first time, you know, some of the reasons you may be asking why Portugal, it's in no particular order, no slight to the United States. It's the third safest country in the world. Cost of living is about half. Their healthcare system is ranked like 10th in the world, 11th in the world. I think US is like 26th or something like that. Cost of healthcare it's free in a lot of places. For example, they completely subsidize cancer. So if you get any form of cancer, it's 100% subsidized. So, you know, there's a lot of these things that play into, there's some tax benefits depending on your situation and those things. And, you know, that is a huge draw when you're looking at a place. Now you add on all the other layers from a professional standpoint. They have the largest tech conference in the world called the Digital Web Summit. It's the first weekend in November every year. It's 100,000 plus people show up, and, you know, it's a whole week. Like, there's stuff going on all week.
I want to get in on that, Shane.
Well, we're working on it. So we're working on it. Even if we have to do our own thing, we're working on it.
I'll have a breakout over here at the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the other things that they've done, they do not currently tax cryptocurrency. So obviously that's a big trend right now. So a lot mm-hmm. of people move there. a digital nomad probably also has some crypto invested and, you know, some of those things. So they know, I will call it, they know their target demographic. And it's a beautiful place. There's 300 days of sunshine every year, or every year. It's easy travel around Europe. It's, the food's amazing. It's fresh. I mean, everybody's searching right now who's listening to this. They're like, oh, Portugal. How do you relocate to Portugal and dig into it? But
yeah,
into what you said, what the other countries are doing, we're seeing countries now start to control the labor market instead of companies or industries. So I think Germany, what, 400,000 skilled tech workers a year is what they're trying to recruit into the country, a year. And you've got a couple things playing into this, I believe, Steve. One, you have what we are dealing with every day is this whole future of work is becoming, you know, flexible in a way that no one probably could have foreseen 10 years ago, right? We have that. But what you also have is countries recognizing that they have marketable assets and benefits, and we'll call them feature benefits, of that that would that bring a certain type of person, right? The world is very small. The world is very, very small. If you've never traveled, I know that doesn't make sense, but trust me, when you can be leave one day and end up in another country halfway around the world, it's why it's to first think about it, it's wild. So what's happening is countries are controlling. How can they control it? They control their local tax rate. They control whether or not there's public insurance or not. They control the safety. They control the, like, they're in control of a lot, right? The other piece to that is the world, we're likely seeing the world at its most populated time ever. So birth rates are massively declining, right? So birth rates are massively declining. What does that mean? Well, that means at scale in 18 years, you're going to have a whole lot less people in the workforce than you have right now, right? So that means this whole talent pool thing that Steve and I are trying to help people figure out, it's only going to continue to get worse. It is not going to get easier because more new jobs, more new businesses, more new slots for people to work at different places are continuing to go. That's not going away.
So, right. And I like how you're elevating the conversation from a company with an issue to a country with an issue. And now we've got industries with issues. So you and I are doing a lot of work with healthcare. People are like, well, we need to do a better job hiring nurses. I go, no, I don't think that's the bigger problem. I think the bigger problem is fewer people are going into nursing schools. So your talent pool is shrinking. And right now, it's not a very appealing talent pool compared to what it was, because you've got all kinds of friction, overworked, and all kinds of other stuff you didn't have to deal with before. But your bigger issue is not today. It's tomorrow. And I think it's a wake-up call. It's a good wake-up call, but it's a hard wake-up call for some of these organizations, you know, around answering the simple question, why does anyone really want to work here? And why would they choose this path? Nursing, for example, is not one that you can really easily, you know, you, it takes a few years to get certified. It takes a lot of money. And then once you get it, you kind of want to harvest that so you're not going to jump somewhere else. To see how many people are doing that and walking away from all that is a lesson in how hard that profession has been for many, many people. But that's where we're at right now. This is not a, you know, not a simple, call it like simple undertow in the ocean. There's so many different undertows right now. And every day it's striking how more complicated this is. Even to me and you who are living this.
Yeah. So you said, so it's that it goes back to the country level. You said, why does somebody want to work here? Why does somebody want to live here?
Want to live here. Exactly.
So this is where it goes into another layer of value, right? And that layer of value is work becoming more human, working to live, not living to work, right? And I know, listen, I am the poster child of grinding it out and pushing through and staying up late or not sleeping to get things done. I am that, okay? Yeah. But a big reason of why I'm moving is to adapt a different mindset. It's really hard to have that mindset of change when around you and your environment isn't conducive for that, right? And if I move to a place where they're not in a hurry to get things done and it may take a week to get something I can get done in 2 hours here, you learn and you develop. You can get frustrated and pissed, but you learn to say, all right, well, we'll figure it out. Right? Mm-hmm. We'll get it done.
It's so interesting, Shane. You know, if you look at the philosophy of work, this was hitting me recently, and I was like, man, I got to make a TikTok about this because it is kind of odd that we have this whole thing that we all do, go to work, but the goal is to not work.
Correct.
You're doing this so you can retire, so you can not work, but you should do this. The whole reason you should do this is so you don't have to do it. You know, and that's not really a great incentive to do it. But I just want to skip to the not doing it part. Like, why? If that's the goal, not doing it, I want to take the shortest, least expensive route to get to not doing it.
Correct.
You know, and that's correct. The hack. That's the ultimate play that I think people are trying to do. And now we have all these new ones. Yeah. You know, we talked about YouTubers and SoundCloud and all kinds of people. You know, our friend Shahar is promoting the fact that his daughter's learning to sell her artwork as an NFT on Fiverr.
Yeah.
And that is fundamentally different in so many ways, even from our generation.
Sure. So two pieces to that. So it goes back to, where do I want to live, right? Mm. Why would I want to live there? Well, it's because increasingly over the last 2 years, we saw that where we live and what we do in our personal time is more important to us than what we do in our work time. Mm-hmm. I also showed that I can have both. I can work from home and in between calls, go get my laundry done. So I'm not up until 11 o'clock at night doing it. I can go on my phone and I can order my groceries after I get off this conference call. And they'll be here before I get done. So I don't have to leave work. I don't have to drive home. I don't have to stop by the grocery store. I've been using grocery store apps, for example. I've been using Instacart and Walmart grocery delivery for 2 years. I tallied it up 2 days ago. They both track from the time someone starts shopping for my groceries to the time they get delivered. They track that time. Mm-hmm. And they show me my time. In 2 years, I have saved 271 hours of my time not shopping for groceries and driving back and forth. Mm-hmm. 271 hours. That is a massive amount of time.
Yeah.
So in that, my time is valuable to me. So where can I live? Where can I go to where I'm treated best? Where does it fit me and my lifestyle? And that matters. I realize everyone is not going to be able to do that. And you know what? Everybody doesn't want to go live in Portugal. Everybody doesn't want to go live abroad. Everybody doesn't want to live in the United States. So you have to become better, and you actually have to learn how to actually recruit, how to actually market. Because, I mean, let's be honest, most jobs, up until 10 years ago, they still were putting them in the paper. They're still, you went to the classifieds and the job posting, and then you saw this job, and there's no marketing there. There's no, like, you know, and the other marketing that was done was, let's go to a university. Let's make everybody go. Everybody's got to go. And then you all have to go. And then if not in the society, when we're at the barbecue, you don't want to be that family that says, my son, he's bouncing around with some friends in a van for a couple years in Europe. You didn't want to be that family. So people made their kids go to college. They told them they have to go. Uh-huh. They told them they have to do this. And it's right for most people, but not for everybody.
Yeah.
You've got a son that I won't call him out, but you've got a son that it won't surprise me if he comes to you in a couple years. And he's like, Dad, I got this going. Like, I just need to take a couple years and see if I can figure this out. And, you know, that kind of thing. And, nurturing that I think the world is way more accepting and conducive, you know, for those things. It's where can I go to be? So what you offer in your community, and you and I have talked about this, we talked about healthcare. If you're having a problem in this town that I am, I don't know if it's happened. I got a pretty good idea it hasn't happened, but all they need to have every owner of every business and have a summit. And we're all going to go sit down in one room with the local government, with the school district, with the hospital, everybody. And we need to discuss our problems, and we need to discuss what problems are happening, but how can we collectively create a community that provides better benefits to people who want to come live here, want to be here. And, you know, I mean, they're building the first supply chain for electric vehicle batteries here in the county that I live in. It's huge. $10 billion in investments.
That's Ford doing that?
Ford, yeah. They're short 30,000 residences in the county where I'm at right now. There are only 22 houses for sale in the city limits where I'm at right now. There's no supply. So how do you fix this? You think people are going to just drive for 2 hours for a job?
Well, they're saying, no. I mean, nationally, probably globally, the pandemic has massively diminished the new housing. And that's a crazy thing. You know, you think about our economy is driven significantly by building new houses all the time. Everyone wants a new house. I'm like, but we don't all buy new houses all at once, but that's a big issue. You know, where this gets me going, completely different pathway than what we've been talking about, which is, let's play this out. Mm-hmm. I don't think, even with all the, you know, luring by Canada and, Portugal and Germany or whoever to get foreign workers, let's say it plays out and they do over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Now we've got countries with more non-quote, you know, citizens or natural born, you know, citizens than ever before.
Yes.
If I'm living in Portugal or I want to have an influence over legislation or over government policy. How is that going to play out?
Yeah.
You know, and are we going to see, probably yes, in some capacity, are we going to see a changing of the qualifications it takes for your voice to matter? You know, if I'm bringing my money to your country, I want to have a vote here. You know, 100%. Like,
100%. So, you know? So you can't, after 10 years, I can apply for citizenship. So I get residency.
Okay.
And after 10 years, I can apply for citizenship. You got to pass a basic language test. And I think that's it really. It's just going through the legal process of it.
Mm-hmm.
But even flipping that, even flipping that, right. If you're in industry, we'll call it healthcare. Right. We'll call it, you're in Idaho, right? You're in Idaho and you're in healthcare and you're struggling. You're short 5,000 nurses. You have an opportunity, just as much as there's an opportunity for Americans to move abroad.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably exponentially more people who live around the world that would want to come work in America still.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Find nurses whose qualifications around the world closely mirror that of the United States and start reaching out to those people. Start up your wages a little bit.
Yep.
So you make it super, super interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Work with your legislation. Actually get your politicians on both sides of the aisle to actually start putting things in place to actually help you rather than fighting back and forth.
Yeah.
And actually, let's actually fix the problem.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have in America. Now, I can't say that for most countries, but in America, you would not have a labor shortage if you started looking to bring equally qualified people from other countries in. You wouldn't.
Right. Right. Well, just as a tiny little anecdotal data point, last week, as you know, I was in Canada and I hit three provinces. So I had a virtual conference for British Columbia. I did one in Ottawa, which is a province of Ontario. And then I did one in Saskatoon, the province of Saskatchewan. When we were in Saskatoon, we were just Ubering a bunch of different places, not very far. And most of them were folks who had immigrated there from other places. And one guy had installed this strobe light on the below the front seats. So we're in the back and it's pulsating to the music. And I go, man, that's really cool. You could, I said, if you were in my hometown, I would invite you over to like install it in my car. Like, that's really fun. And I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Jamaica. I said, what brought you here? He goes, my wife is a nurse and she's working here. And Saskatoon is north of Montana by a few hours. Okay. Cold. You know, he was sort of like, hey, every day's a party, man. And like, he was happy and just really carefree. And, but he was thrilled to be there, and he was sad that he hadn't been able to visit Jamaica for 2 years for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a family that made a move for opportunity, and his wife's a nurse, you know? Yeah. And I think, and the top, and, you know, I said, so do you feel like, I didn't want to ask him like, hey, do you feel welcome here? I said, do you feel part of the community? He goes, oh yeah. You know, very much. So that was nice. It was nice to hear that, you know? And I think,
Yeah. I think having that, like that's where we're going to be. And, you know, I think you would know this, I guess, better than I would, just having been in the shoes or the seat of the ladies and gentlemen who are currently sitting, dealing with this whole crazy world of hiring and HR and just the world of people and organizations mm-hmm. and leadership. It's scary. It's a scary thought process. It's a scary mindset. It's all of it's uncertain. You learned none of this in college, right? It's all hands on learning. Mm-hmm. It's all there. And, you know, I think that for us, even like this episode, I think that for us is we just want to create a conversation around it and open up dialogue. So, you know, I'll put this out there. Anybody who, hey, we're seeing an uptick, or hey, we're struggling and I've talked to my boss and we really want to explore this, you know, reach out. You know, we'd love to set up a call and, you know, see how Steve can, you know, talk through or work through these different things and, you know, how you start to, you know, as you say, not solve the problem, but start experimenting to get to the solution of the problem.
And right. Just call it appreciative inquiry. Ask questions. I will tell you, working in organizations my entire career, when someone brings a problem to you and asks you to do something, that's rarely the real problem. We got an issue that, we got a bunch of people that don't know how to present over here. Oh, really? A bunch of customers. They've been to the customer and the customer, you know, we're not closing deals and they're just not presenting. So you say, okay, can I go talk to those people? And you go talk to people and you say, hey, how are you feeling those presentations are going with the customer? And they're going, well, no one told me what to present. I didn't know what to present. I was just thrown to the fire. So now you realize, oh, this is not a presentation. This is like management 101. They weren't prepared. They weren't set up for success. That's the issue, right? And so I think we live in a society today where we're looking to find the easy out, right? And I was on a conversation on a podcast, another podcast earlier today, and we were going through the anatomy of most companies still think they can buy their way out of this problem right now. We can recruit, we can raise salaries, we can jack up the bonus plans. That's what's going to happen. That's going to help today. It's definitely not going to help tomorrow. You're going to have to really rethink work and jobs and design, how jobs are designed. I love your example of the order taker at McDonald's not being in the store and maybe taking on several. And maybe they're not even in the same area. They could be dispersed all over. And that's just efficiency, you know, and opportunity there. And so it is a moment. It's a moment of creativity. You know, are you willing to do that? That's why I love what you're doing for your kids, Shane, which is you don't know what you don't know until you encounter something new, right? And I'm coaching another friend of mine's daughter right now who's in the Bay Area from the East Coast, and she doesn't really like her job, so she's going to go to take a job in Washington, D.C., but she loves it here. And I said, she goes, I'm so sad to go. I said, yeah, but you just learned something. You learned you like living here. Now, maybe the job isn't here for you, but you're going to appreciate what you have, what you don't have when you go try something different. And that's what, you know, your kids are going to see, like, wow, like our world was, you know, the places that you've taken them, you've taken them on a lot of really cool vacations, but now this is fundamentally different how people think, how people talk, how people are treated, how the food, the smells, the food. When I went to Asia, you know, my head exploded. I mean, so body language different, you know, just the sports you watch. I mean, just the whole country, you're going to be there for World Cup this year. Oh, being in Europe for World Cup is just, it's something that you, there's no, I mean, maybe it's basketball, but this is a country getting behind something, you know, and it's so interesting.
No, it's fun. It's fun. And I think for me, it's, you know, I mean, I feel obviously I'm very privileged to be in the situation that I'm in, to be able to give them, you know, this type of opportunity. But that being said, like, I want to put that out there. Like, you don't have to be in like a crazy, like, financial bracket to do this. Like, it's way more accessible. Like, I don't encourage anybody just to quit your job just for pay, but there's jobs out there that you can get remote right now that are probably paying 2.5 times what you're making right now, and they'll let you work from anywhere. And that's a very real thing. And I know that's scary. I know there's that security of, you know, walking in and sitting down at a job and knowing that you have a job and that familiarity. I will tell you right now, now I'm different. I mean, I take everything on from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and I'm very comfortable with my own ability to be able to make things happen. And, you know, everybody's not like that. You know, everybody doesn't have that drive, and not everybody can do it solo. Some people need, you know, people helping them. And, you know, just, you know, I know we talk a lot to companies. I'm going to talk to the individual contributor before we wrap it up here and just say, think about, like, genuinely try and figure out what makes you happy. There's a couple ways to do that. One, if you're married, sit down with your spouse and just ask, like, where, do we love the place we live? Do we love the place we work? Do we love the schools we're in? Do we love the country we're in? Do these things. And then I would argue that therapy is really helpful in, you know, self-exploration and understanding and kind of getting your mentals. It's been a shitty last 2 years. It has sucked in a lot of ways. Look, maybe I don't say it. There's things that have sucked for me over the last 2 years, right? I've not been a good, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of friends that are close to me. Steve's probably at this point the closest friend that I have. I talk to him probably more than I talk to my wife. Now I've got this group in Portugal where, you know, I've put these guys together, and we actually just posted in the group about this, of all of our lives collectively have changed for the better because of the relationships that are going to come out of us all just randomly connecting, all because we're moving to another country. And, you know, that's an intentional thing that I want to do moving forward, is pour into my friendships and pour into, you know, those times, and just find what makes, because find what makes you happy. I told a friend this, a friend struggling with some work stuff, and he hears me talk, and we go out to dinner, and he's like, man, I'm amped up. This is like, man, he's like, you believe in me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I believe in you, but I also know what's out there. And I said, you're not living from a work standpoint. You're not living by the same advice that you would give your kids. You would not tell your kids to stay in a place that's not treating them well. You would not tell them to stay there and not get a raise in 9 years. Mm-hmm. They didn't follow through with the promises when you showed up, and it's not even been brought up. You would not tell them that. And he looked at me and almost got a little teary-eyed, and he was like, you are 100% correct. And I said, so get off your hind end and do something about it. Because they know, they can see, and that example that you set for them visually matters. It matters. And if nothing else, my kids get to see that, hey, you're in control of your own destiny, and, you know, I'm open about my journey through life, and you can overcome these things. And I think that's the underlying opportunity in all these countries offering these different things and in all this different stuff, is it's creating, this is how we get to being more human. And it's not always on the corporation or the organization. Mm-hmm. It's not always on them. they play a big part, and they have to adjust to the trends. So make them adjust to the trends. You know, stand up. It, you know, if your boss doesn't know you're unhappy and you're putting on a face, that means there's two tango in here, right? Like, you have to let them know. You have to voice your opinion. So this world of work is a beautiful thing. I don't know why you guys find my journey interesting into Portugal, but I don't mind sharing it. And it's fun for me to come on here and share my journey, and it's fun for me to collaborate with the guy that I'm on camera with here, that we get to try and chisel away and solve the world's problems and legitimately make the workforce more human and better for everybody. And that's
amen. Amen to that. And Shane, I can't wait to 2 years down the road. We're going to keep doing this when you're in Portugal, is start to hear and observe your differing points of view and our differing points of view as you immerse yourself into that new experience and what you're facing and what you're seeing and hearing. And it's going to be so interesting as we were all, you know, going through this. I mean, this summer, I was just starting to book my trip to get out there. We've got a couple of things going on in a few countries. And I'm sitting here going, man, I hope going to Canada last week, you know, we just dropped the mask requirement traveling, had to put it back on because Canada's got it back on. I was like, oh man, that was a drag, because I was enjoying having the choice. I do still wear the mask on a plane probably more times than not. But I'm like, oh man, am I going to have to do testing and get all these things done? Because we had to hustle to get a test to get back, a negative COVID test to get back in the States. So I hope we're, you know, getting through some of that soon this summer, you know, and that it eases. But I am interested in aging out these conversations and just hearing, you know, how they evolve. Because I feel really, really fortunate and grateful to have you as a partner here, because we're both kind of in the center of the storm here.
Literally.
And feeling it and sensing it.
Oh, no, I echo all that. And it's a beautiful journey. And, you know, it's been in a short period of time, because we're just over a year of actually doing this podcast. We kind of missed the year anniversary of it. But just to be able to, you know, just to share and give some insight and create some conversation. And, you know, neither of us claim to know it all, but I think what we do well is just create and frame a thought process and a mindset to help frame conversation and then help guide through that conversation. Because, you know, it's like anything else, right? It's like, you're a great dad, but you can't tell me how to parent my kids because they're not your kids. You don't live in the environment. Right. You can only offer me advice, but you can't tell me how to do it. So, and we talk about parenting stuff both ways. We'll like, hey, well, here's how I did this, right? And then it frames that mindset of, oh, maybe I need to, you know, go do that, or, you know, maybe I need to do this. And, you know, that's really what it worked. That's why I don't like the whole, like, people who tell you they've got all the answers and they can come in and fix it. Yeah, turn around and run from those people.
That's right.
They're not it. So, man, that was a good episode. That was a good episode.
Yeah. Thanks, brother. Well, everyone, thank you for joining another episode of the Work Week After Hours. I'm Steve Cadigan with my partner,
Shane Howard. All right. Till next time. Cheers.